Okay, so you may have noticed the uncanny resemblance between George Costanza and Hector Geffner. So, you know, if there are feats of strength today, it would be with him. So anyway, that's the basic idea of festivals. You're supposed to show your gripes and yell at people and, you know, maybe have fun. I wanted to do a little short festivals recap and then do my gripe. So hopefully. The first festivals was held in 2005, and here's a homepage for that, and there are the people who had gripes and grievances and that they aged quite loudly and vigorously. People actually took a video of it. It's available on the Google Video. It's one of the more popular videos on Google Videos. And if you don't believe me, if you go to Google, and I did this yesterday night, if you go to Google and say festivals and do in the image search, what do you see? This, my friends, is more we did in planning than anything else we did. I mean, as far as the world is concerned, this is the reason why we are actually known, apparently. Anyway, so that's festivals. So balance sheet from festivals, the first festivals, and I wanted to kind of tell you what people said and what has been done based on the festivals. I mean, it's no fun to air grievances if nobody cares about them and we have to repeat them again this year. So these were all the various grievances. My own interest was to increase the general levity in the community. Levity, for those of you who are not English speaking, is having fun, humorous, whatever. And then Martha said, let's have double blind reviewing. Dave said, let there be milk of human kindness and light in reviewing. And Amadeo said something about 100 birds must sing. And Craig said, Rao's poster paper should not be accepted. And then Dan and Adil said, let's do real world application. Okay? Let's look at what happened. Let's increase the general levity in the community. That's done. Actually, my friends, that's done. And have you seen some of your stocks, your Hoffman stocks? These are slides from a talk that he gave in the recent workshop. Can you believe this? And this is the guy who thought the only thing that should be relaxed is a plan graph. Right? So I believe that I have made my contribution to the community. Okay. So that part taken care of. The second part, let's have double-blind reviewing. We actually had it. Whether you like it or not, we had it. And that was because of what we discussed at that time. In fact, maybe we could actually seriously think about whether it changed anything, but I won't go into it. Then the third one was, let there be milk of fineness and light in reviewing. We probably are still lactose intolerant, and probably there's not that much kindness, but we are trying, okay. Let 100 birds sing. Done. They're singing, but they seem to be singing in Italian, and I can't understand a thing. Okay. Let's stop accepting those poster papers. We have done that. We are accepting them all as presentations. Okay. So that basically leaves us to let's work on real-world applications. You kidding? So actually, I went to this workshop where it's a beautiful workshop. There was this talk going on, and there was this person, and I know who the person would know who I'm talking about, who basically pointed out that they have this nice, perfect heuristics for Brock's world, and everybody was interestedly listening to it, and then they asked, is it really perfect for the whole Brock's world? And then he pointed out, no, it's only for the stacked Brock's world. So we are probably going in the wrong direction in terms of specializing the Brock's world. So that it will be more realistically applicable to the world. Okay. But here is the point. I love that talk. That's the depressing part. I love that talk. I love that workshop. I guess we like these kinds of problems. Okay. But let's talk a little bit more about real-world applications, which sort of leads us into the part of my gripe, which is, where have all our hard problems gone? And I thought about this. I was thinking about it. That huge big beer bottle that I won yesterday has been very helpful, and I think probably the reason the smart problems went away is because Fahim and Dana, essentially, instead of solving them with their planners, are solving them with their heads, and they're all gone. That's one possibility. But there may be, if we still want to look for more real hard problems, maybe we should do this tough nuts track that Jorg wants. Do required concurrency that a bunch of people want, probabilistically interesting problems that we can deal with, we can make problems harder, blah, blah, blah. But I wonder. The question is, this is probably what I think I'm expected to talk about, but I don't want to talk about that. Instead, I wonder, will wearing dark glasses help a drunk find his lost keys under the street light when they are not under the street light? Okay, so the idea being, and most of you probably heard about this drunk searching for his lost keys under the street light. They were actually lost somewhere out there. He was searching here, and then we said, no, it's too easy. You're searching under the light. And then he says, okay, I'll make it hard. I'll wear my dark glasses. So the question is, does this help him find his glasses, I mean, his keys any faster? I wonder. Okay. My question, I guess my somewhat serious point, to the extent I can be serious, is that we seem to be looking at the kind of benchmarks that we have, and we've been trying to make them harder in some ways. I think we are also specializing them in that blocks world stacking example. But it seems that the kind of progress we've been making is essentially, whether you like it or not, looking for feasible plans as the underlying dynamics become more and more expressive. So we looked for feasible plans in classical, feasible plans in metric, temporal, non-deterministic, partially observable, all that stuff. Okay. So this is a hard, you know, as you keep increasing the underlying system dynamics, the expressiveness of that, they become harder and harder. This is fine. It's a nice thing to do, but not for everybody to be doing this. It seems that while we can, as individuals, look at a specific research direction, we do have to make sure that between all of us, we man or women, all the important directions in planning, such that there are, you know, is there progress being made in various directions. So the question is, are there any other directions? I mean, is there any other dimensions in which we could be making progress? I want to actually talk about two other dimensions in which we could be making progress, one of which is probably less controversial, one of which is more controversial. Okay. So I think that there is an extra dimension which is irrespective of the domain dynamics that you consider, whether it's classical, metric, or whatever, you should actually start talking about the quality of the plan. And the quality of the plan, we always paid the worst form of lip service. And in fact, we had great discussions in the competition workshop, and the optimality track in the ICAP was a bit of a fiasco, and it's improving, hopefully. But part of the reason it was a fiasco is because we didn't seriously consider quality as an important issue. I believe that irrespective of where you are in this, we were only looking for feasible plans. And you can decide to be any of these places and start talking about quality considerations. And in fact, if you heard Matt Ginsberg's highly entertaining talk this morning, he basically points out that in scheduling community, for example, we wound up doing mixed-span minimization because that was just easy, not because anybody cared about it. If you ask them, they might tell us, and they may not actually explain it well, but, you know, there are other kinds of cost considerations. So we should be looking at cost considerations, and I think if there is work in this that's direct, you know, starting slowly by fits and spurts, but I believe that we should think of this as a legitimate direction in which more of us are involved in. Okay, that's one idea. And I think, in fact, as you go in towards this, it's possible that finding a feasible plan is easy, and yet finding a plan of a certain type of quality can become quite hard, depending upon the kind of objective functions you have, whether it's the multi-objective optimization and so on. And we just do not spend that much time thinking about that. A different direction that I believe we should start taking very seriously is, where are the domain models coming from? And when I talk about models, I basically talk about the underlying dynamics of the system, first of all, which is actions, preconditions, effects, and all that stuff, plus what is it that our users want? What is the user preferences? Most of the time, these are not given to you on a platter. We're actually good at thinking about running these problems, thinking of planning as a completely inference problem given a complete and correct domain model. But real world isn't like that. And in fact, I mean, it's as if I set up this Matt Ginsberg talk this morning. I mean, he was basically talking about some of the same issues, that you have to ask people what they want, and they say maybe cost. And in fact, if you ask them why, they say, I don't know. And you have to figure out. Okay, so the point being that you would have to consider dealing with incomplete and partially specified domain models, where the incompleteness could be either because of the underlying system dynamics being incomplete or because you just don't know what the users are looking for. Now, the interesting thing is there are technical challenges in doing this. I would basically, since this one is somewhat less controversial and this is slightly more controversial, maybe not, I would at least spend two slides, and then I will give my mic to whoever is next. Okay. So in terms of this domain model, in terms of the model handling the incomplete models, where anytime I say model, think of both what the users have, what is it that the users want, and what is it the underlying dynamics of the domain. Now, is that really hard? Well, currently it's not hard. It's only hard for the suckers who actually decide to run the planning competition. They sit down and they write the domains, and then we even actually get to write papers yelling at them, saying how bad they were in terms of setting up the domain, which is great. I get more papers. But the important thing is, in fact, domain modeling is hard, and if, in fact, planning winds up being used kind of a one-time sort of a thing, a few times, the users are not willing to sit down and write complete and correct domain models. That's true, for example, in web service composition, where when planning people went in, they started talking about writing very complex web service composition models. Okay, but if you look at the real world, and in fact there have been studies done, including us, we actually looked at the public domain web services, none of them are well described. Okay, so you have very low-level descriptions of the web services, most of the time in bad English or very good Italian. And and you need to deal with that. And you want some help rather than say, I will wait until Jörg Hoffman wakes up and writes them in PDDL. Okay. Similarly, workflow management. And in general, this is not just in planning. I mean, in databases, for example, for a while they waited to say, if it's important enough problem, people will convert it into structured data schema, and then they will use Oracle databases. And they were waiting and waiting and waiting, and Google and the rest of the world was taking over, because there's a lot more unstructured and semi-structured data, and they had to deal with, rather than wait until everything becomes completely structured, they had to start dealing with unstructured data. Okay, and what we want really is a sort of a spectrum of approaches which can handle, in the case of databases, there were now more and more interest in dealing with spectrum of approaches that can handle loosely structured data to completely structured data. They're not saying, this is where we will sit, this let Google make its billions here. They're actually trying to jump into it. And we should be doing the same thing in the case of planning. And I believe that if you're thinking in terms of domain models, and again, remember that models could involve both the domain dynamics as well as what the user wants. The reason we don't care about what the users want is, in blocks world, users want the same thing. Just don't bother us about blocks world. Okay? So, but real domains have users who have actual, you know, preferences that they want about. Okay, so the question, of course, is how incomplete is incomplete? You could actually have domain models which are very shallow. There's very little information that's available about the domain in terms of just not more than just the input-output type specifications. And now, if you don't want to call that planning because, you know, FF is not needed for that, then we might be in the same situation that database people were who could have said, this is not databases, this is databases, we'll wait here. And then the billions are being made here, okay? So on this end is shallow models, and I believe we need to start taking those seriously too. And on this side, maybe we actually can start writing papers like next year, in fact, which is approximate models where there are some incompleteness about the preconditions and effects of the actions, and maybe some incompleteness about what the user might be looking for. And there are technical problems that can actually be formulated and handled to deal with these kinds of approximate models. The three pieces that I believe are important is, of course, planning support for shallow domain models, plan creation with approximate domain models, and finally, if you are stuck with incomplete models, you have to slowly go over a period of time to improve the models. Okay, so learning to improve the planning models, either by human or automated ways. I believe this is something, those are very interesting problems, those are hard problems, not hard benchmark problems. I know that's the benchmark that I threw away in what you asked me to talk about. But these are hard problems. I believe these are problems worth working on, and I say that we work on them. And I did write some of the papers, but I believe there is a large number of things that we can look at here. And again, I want to leave you with this three-dimensional spectrum. We have been very busily going in this direction, which is a good direction. There's nothing wrong with it. Let's say people on this direction work on this, okay? People in the middle maybe work on this. People here work on a different dimension, so that we will have more of a breadth in the kind of things that we are working on. Okay, so that's all I want to say, and I want to remind you that just because we made our Black Swan problem the hardest one, or the current temporal planning benchmark the hardest one, by putting essentially dark glasses so that we can't see as well under the light for searching for our keys, which is our destiny, the keys are somewhere out there. So the fact that you're wearing dark glasses to search here doesn't help. So don't make the current benchmark hard. That's a reasonable thing to do. But think also about what should we be doing as a community. Maybe this is one of the things. Okay, that's all I want to say. Thank you.